This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, March 7th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to our number two of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America. Today is the memorial of the martyrs, Saint Perpetua and Felicity. We continue this morning with more developments in Ukraine as Russia has announced a ceasefire to allow for evacuations as the humanitarian crisis continues. We want to bring in our news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what is the latest this hour here in day 12 of this Russian invasion of Ukraine?
Well, John, about an hour from now, some peace talks are scheduled to begin at an undisclosed location. And this Thursday, the Russian foreign minister set to meet with his counterpart from Ukraine and what could be some higher-level talks as well. Hopefully that would be some good news as well. The EU, meanwhile, working on further sanctions due to the Kremlin's, as they call it, recklessness. European Union should be ready, according to a top diplomat, for up to 5 million people fleeing Ukraine. And so many countries have opened their hearts and homes as well as their borders as well to take in those Ukrainian refugees, which are up over 1.5 million right now.
And Glenn, yesterday Pope Francis is in his Angelus address from the Vatican, once again spoke about the situation that's going on in Ukraine, condemning Russia's invasion and expressing his solidarity with the country and the Ukrainian people.
He's offered himself up as an avenue for peace to try and help with negotiations. He's announced as well, again, two cardinals have been sent to Ukraine to serve the people and to help, as he said.
And as you mentioned in the news, gas prices are up and partially because of the situation that's going on. Obviously, they were going up even before the war in Ukraine, but it is quite concerning. Yesterday, for the first time ever, it cost me more than $50 to fill up my tank on my little Volkswagen Jetta. Gas in downtown Chicago was over $5 a gallon, Glenn.
Wow. Highest in 14 years. And some say it could go up another dollar, perhaps, by Memorial Day at least.
Yeah, it's a most unfortunate situation. And we're going to talk about the gas prices and the economy a little bit later in the show with our financial expert, Bill Ulivieri. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We start every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. On Mondays, we remember to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially those of our relatives and loved ones who are being purified with the hopes of getting to heaven someday. They need our prayers. And of course, we continue to pray for peace in Ukraine with Russia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Luke 4, 1 and 2. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Lent, our spiritual retreat, is about imitating Jesus 40 days in the desert. Our Lord Jesus Christ began his Lent filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. He also came out of the Lenten desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed Jesus every single step of the way through that first Lent. The question is, are we tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit and letting the Spirit direct us during the season of Lent? Are we fasting? Are we praying? Are we giving alms and sharing our Catholic faith in the Spirit? If these things seem nearly impossible, they seem very difficult to do, call on the Holy Spirit who helps us in all of our weaknesses. And we pray as we do every morning, come Holy Spirit, Vene Sancte Spiritus. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's new and improved Lenten Lessons on the Mass, it's still not too late. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Today's lesson, Father Rocky talked about the crucifix found in every single Catholic church, which of course is a cross with the figure of our Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. All you have to do is sign up this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Once again, it's time to continue our weekly Be Formed series. Last time we talked about the fraction rite. Today we're going to focus on Holy Communion and the Communion procession.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
And joining us now to continue his Be Formed series is our spiritual director, Father Burkmaster, the Chicago Cubs Catholic chaplain known as the baseball priest, as well as the director for the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and a longtime regular contributor to Relevant Radio and Morning Air. Good morning, Father Burke. Always great to be with you on a Monday morning. Thanks so much for joining us here in this first Monday in Lent.
Good morning, John. Yeah, always great to be with you and But we thought we were out of the snow here in Chicagoland, but it's falling again this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. One day it could be 60 degrees and we're hitting fly balls, and the next day we're digging out of the snow.
Yeah, just a few days ago it was 70 degrees. And and it, you and I, baseball lovers, were waiting for this.
I kid you not. Father, I actually hit some fungos to my 14-year-old on Saturday, and it's hard to believe that this morning I was wiping off a couple of inches of snow off my car. So that's the way springs go in the Midwest.
It is. And as always, I like to connect our Lenten season with our spiritual spring training, going back to the basics. The ball players go back to the basics and in Arizona and Florida, normally, when they're not striking. And then the church calls us as Catholics back to the basics, prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and, to prepare for this long season ahead. So whether or not baseball happens soon, the church continues on and helps to continue to prepare us for the season of life ahead of us.
The basics and the fundamentals as well. And I think one of the most basic fundamental is understanding what the Mass is what we're trying to do here every week. We're going to pick it up with the Lamb of God. Last week we talked about the fraction, right? What are we referring to when we sing the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world?
Yes. So as we've talked about, there's so much scripture in Mass. The Mass is full of scriptural references. And in John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, he's baptizing people in the Jordan River. And his mission was to point people to the Messiah. And when he sees Jesus walking by, he points him out. You know, he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's pointing to Jesus. And, you know, at Mass, we repeat those words, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. It's a reference to the Passover, where, you know, they sacrificed the unblemished lamb, they ate the flesh of the lamb, and they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost so that the angel of death would pass over. And to this day, we have the unblemished lamb, Jesus, who is sinless, who offered himself as a living sacrifice for us on the cross, the one sacrifice for all time. And we're encouraged to eat his flesh in communion. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And we don't put the blood on the doorpost, but we drink the blood of Christ. Of course, in COVID right now, you know, we're only the priest has been consuming the blood. But that's that reference in John 1:29 to the Lamb of God.
And Father Burke, at this point in the Mass, it is no longer mere bread and wine. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus. And so when the priest elevates the host, we show our reverence by going down on our knees.
Absolutely. Everyone in the congregation kneels if they're able to kneel. And it's that sign of reverence. And you know, the priest, as prior to elevating the host, he says this prayer in silence. So people don't hear this, but it's a beautiful prayer I share here. He says, may the receiving of your body and blood, Lord Jesus Christ, not bring me to judgment and condemnation, but through your loving mercy be for me protection in mind and body and a healing remedy. So just a beautiful preparation to receive the Lord, that may it not bring me judgment and condemnation, but be your loving mercy and a healing remedy for me. And so then he says, behold, I love that word, behold the Lamb of God as he elevates the host in the chalice. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. So behold is a different word than just look or see, but behold kind of has the connotation of adoration, of awe. As you said, this is now Jesus among us, and it's meant to just draw our attention to in worship of the Lord who has come among us in the Eucharist. And and blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. How privileged we are that we are at Mass. And you know, we've had a lot of you know, virtual Masses, and I always said the virtual Mass is better than nothing, but it's nowhere near being there in person and being able to receive our Lord in the Eucharist. It's such a gift and a privilege. So it's at this time that we're meant to realize what a gift it is. And then another scriptural reference, you say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. And it's from Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, where the Roman centurion comes to Jesus and, you know, he says, can you, my servant is ill, can you heal him? And Jesus says, yeah, I'll come with you. And the centurion says, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. And so he's showing this faith and humility and confidence in Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so when we repeat those words, instead of saying, my servant be healed, we say, may my soul be healed. As we're kneeling there, it's meant to show that same faith, humility, and confidence that Jesus can heal us of our ills as well.
And Father Burke, how can we imitate the humility of the Roman centurion when we are receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus in Holy Communion?
Yeah, so it's to keep in mind, you know, I think sometimes we can take for granted what a gift this is. And, you know, if we've kind of grown up with this, and we can just kind of go through the motions. But when we're kneeling there, it's a great reminder. Kneeling is a sign of humility and prayerfulness. It's to remember who we are about to receive, and to remember that, wow, I am a beloved child of the Father, and I'm going to be able to receive my God in the Eucharist. And so it's that recognition, I think, of who we're about to receive and say, Lord, I'm not worthy, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Father Burke, is there any specific prayer that you recommend that perhaps that we keep in mind right at that moment to unite ourselves to what's actually happening?
I think a very simple prayer that, that you know, when I was on the, you know, when before I became a priest, I would say, you know, my Lord and my God, you know, that that recognition of who it is we're about to receive or right as we're about to receive it, my Lord and my God. It's a reminder to us to say this is the Savior of the world in such a humble form that's coming to me, you know, and who am I to receive? So I think that's something very simple and easy to remember. If we've talked about the short video, The Veil Removed, it's a 7-minute video, and it shows the hidden realities of the Mass. And the young man who is kind of the key player in the movie, he's kind of moving forward in the church as he's seeing all of these hidden realities. And kind of the climax of the consecration, he says, you know, my Lord and my God, this is not just a piece of bread and wine anymore. It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus.
What about the proper disposition that we should have to receive our Lord in Holy Communion?
So the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults says this, that we should be in a state of grace, and if we are conscious of a grave or serious sin, we must receive the sacrament of penance before we receive Holy Communion. So so we should be in a state of grace, meaning if we have any serious sin, we should go to communion. And if we have, you know, minor sins, just the venial sins, then we should, you know, at the beginning of Mass, when we say, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, we're calling to mind those sins. What are the criteria of a mortal sin or a serious sin? You know it's wrong, so your intellect is engaged. You do it anyway. Your will is engaged, and it's serious or grave matter. The only exception to that receiving the sacrament of penance at that time is if there's no opportunity for confession, what you can do is make a perfect act of contrition. So it'd be like saying, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And perfect act of contrition means it's motivated by faith and love of God. And so then you have the intention that at the first opportunity after that, so you can receive communion, and then in the first opportunity, you can make a sacramental confession. So that's the only exception, that when we should, when we can go to communion with serious sin, if there's no confession available. There's also an expectation that we should fast from food or drink at least an hour before the reception of Holy Communion. So I think there's two extremes that we should avoid in this proper disposition. One is being overly scrupulous, which means I think everything is serious sin and I could never go to communion. That's one side, one extreme. The other extreme is that I just approach Holy Communion very casually, and doesn't matter if I have serious sin, I go to communion anyway. And so when I travel, you know, for example, when I go to Latin America, it surprised me at first that probably half or less of the people go to communion, because they really take it seriously that, gosh, if I have serious sin, I shouldn't go to communion. Where generally here in the States, it's just kind of accepted that everybody goes to communion. And the reason why the church takes this very seriously is St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, he says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. And I think that those are serious words that we should consider, that I don't want to profane the body and blood of the Lord if I'm in serious sin. Receiving Holy Communion is the greatest sign of unity between us and God and us and our neighbor. And so if I'm, you know, and that's why the scripture says, before going to the altar, if I have to reconcile with my brother, leave my gift at the altar, go reconcile, and then come back and receive communion as that sign of I've been reconciled with my brother and with God. And so I think it's something that we should really take to heart, that I should go to confession regularly, and I should be ready to receive the Lord. The graces are going to be so much more efficacious in us if our hearts are disposed well.
Father Burke, can you talk about the symbolism of the communion procession as we get ready to go up, single file, up towards the altar to receive our Lord?
Yes, yeah, so early on in Beformed, we were talking about just entering into a church, that main aisle is a reminder of our procession from baptism, which is usually the baptismal font is at the beginning of that aisle, you know, up to the altar. And the altar represents that place that we're meeting God in heaven. And so any procession up that aisle is a sign of our journey to God. And so we should be mindful that every time we go up for communion, as we go up that aisle, it's this procession. We're encountering the living God in the Eucharist, and it's part of this sanctification process, this transformation that God wants to do within us. And also keep in mind that we're preparing to receive the Lord of the universe in Holy Communion. So something to keep in mind every time we walk up that aisle, every time we go to communion.
I think that if we do nothing else here during this time of Lent, if we can make it to confession to clean our souls and our hearts, to prepare ourselves better for Holy Communion, that would be a mission accomplished here during Lent, Father.
Amen. I recommend monthly confession. Obviously, if you have serious sin, you should go right away. But that monthly confession helps us stay, you know, on the path of the Lord. You might begin with those big sins that have plagued you for a long time. And then little by little, as you make this a regular part of your spiritual life, you'll find yourself starting to get even to your, you know, the sins of your thoughts. And it's just a powerful, powerful sacrament where we're receiving the grace and mercy of God. You won't regret it if you make this a regular part of your spiritual life.
Well, Father Burke, as always, thank you so much for your wonderful teachings and your spiritual direction on the importance of Holy Communion here this morning. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure, and blessings to you, John and Glenn, and all who are listening.
Thank you. Father Burke Master is the director of the Office of Adult Formation for the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, the baseball priest, and longtime Morning Air contributor. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our financial expert, Bill Uliveri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, is going to be in the house to take your calls and talk about what's happening with our investments. We're going to talk about buying oil and energy stocks in your IRA or 401ks, and talk a little bit about the rising gas prices. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, this first Monday in Lent here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I got to tell you, yesterday, for the first time ever, it cost me over $50 to fill up my gas tank on my little Volkswagen Jetta. That's $4.69 a gallon for regular in suburban Chicago and Glenview, Illinois. And in downtown Chicago, gas was at one station I drove by at $5.19 a gallon. According to AAA in California, the average gas price for regular yesterday was a shocking $5.29 per gallon. Oil prices are surging to a 13-year high. Yesterday, that is, as U.S. officials signaled an openness to a ban on Russian oil imports amid Putin's invasion of Ukraine. West Texas Intermediate crude, the U.S. benchmark, rose 9.5% to $126 a barrel as of 7 p.m. on Sunday evening. Brent crude, the international benchmark, shot up 12% to $130 a barrel. Listen to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who ripped President Biden's energy policies for surging fuel prices, to Hannity on Fox News.
I'm coming to you tonight from San Patricio County. San Patricio County is on the Gulf Coast, right next to Corpus Christi. Through this county runs a lot of natural gas pipelines that connect to a Cheniere. Alan Trump worked to open up these LNG facilities to make sure that we would be able to provide natural gas to countries like Germany or to the EU. But also, in addition to that, we have the ability to move oil around. Because of what you were talking about Biden's closure of pipelines, because of shutting down leases and things like that, the ability to drill, that's one thing that's caused the price of gasoline to go up so much, because the price of oil is going up so much. Biden knew when he was getting into this situation with regard to Russia and the Ukraine, he knew that the price of oil would be going up even more. And so everybody watching this show, their price they're going to be paying at the pump will be going up even more in the coming day. If Biden would rely upon American-based energy, we could solve that problem.
And so the question in the current economic environment is, should I be taking risk off and investing more conservatively with the Russian-Ukraine war going on? Joining us now is our financial expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Bill Ulivieri, to explain why he says no to risky oil and energy stocks. Bill is the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great, as always, to be with you.
Good morning, John. It's great to be with you guys on this crazy day today.
It is a crazy day. First of all, I'd like to get your reaction on these insane gas prices. As I mentioned there at the top, I couldn't believe my eye for the first time that I could ever remember. I don't remember back what it was in 2008, whether I ever paid over $50 for to fill up my gas tank. But that's what I paid yesterday for the first time. And I don't have a huge, giant vehicle. So it was a little bit shocking. And also just to see over $5 a gallon in downtown Chicago.
I know that the prices at the pump are definitely up there. But again, I just want to, you know, I always love to give historical perspectives. And again, my favorite scripture verse is Ecclesiastes, where there is an everything for a season, right? A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, right? And so, you know, we have to remember a few things. One, in that, as you said, in 2008, in July of 2008, Brent crude oil reached $143 a barrel. Within about 6 to 8 months, by the winter or by the end of that year, it had fallen down to $37 a barrel. So here we are once again with prices of crude oil in the mid-130s, or low to one mid-30s. We have to just be prepared for what I think is the downside of oil. I know it sounds crazy, right, because I'm always speaking contradiction. But I guess kind of what's happening is there's some really interesting contradictions in the market, and gas prices and energy prices are one of them. And actually, John, most of what's going on at the pump, most of what's going on, we're doing to ourselves. We can't possibly be surprised to have gas prices here. We shut down the oil, the Keystone pipeline. We've pulled back on clean coal, clean energy. There's been a political response to fracking across the United States. In April of 2020, crude oil was a negative $40 a barrel. It was $40 below zero in post-COVID. And some of it had to do with the fact that the world was drowning in oil. And now, a year and a half, 2 years later, we're experiencing this. I mean, this is an insane swing of prices and supply and demand. And when prices get up here, we're going to figure out a way of making demand. If you don't think that the Middle East is going to be cranking on the pumps and the world is going to be, you know, we're going to start moving toward putting more oil out there, I mean, otherwise it's just going to be a death to the economy and a death to the global economy. And I can't imagine us really wanting to do that. That would be a self-inflicted wound of biblical proportions.
Bill, a lot of folks are talking about and asking the question why the Biden administration has been refusing to cut off Russian oil and gas. There are people who feel that in many ways, by being involved with Russia with oil and gas, we're financing their efforts in the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, it could possibly be, but you know, the United States will generally always does the right thing. It's just never at the right time. I remember when we were putting sanctions on South Africa in the early 80s, where we did not permit investment in apartheid in South Africa, and people were selling gold coins below spot price of $286 an ounce. Whatever it was, you couldn't hang on to it if it was related to South Africa. You know, these sanctions are interesting, but I don't know, John. I mean, I'm kind of mixed on the whole idea. I mean, it just seems like we're itching for a fight. It seems like we're itching to do this. I just don't see the dialogue of reconciliation and diplomacy going on. It's insane to me what we're doing politically.
Well, that brings up the question from an investing perspective. Can you tell us why we shouldn't buy oil and energy stocks for our IRAs or 401ks?
Listen, my inbox, my email inbox and voice messages are filled with questions by my clients who are concerned that I should be taking risk off the market, I should be moving into bonds, I should be investing more conservatively, and they want to get into oil. Right at the time where it's peak media conversation on oil and this political conversation that's going on, we have oil prices back to where they were in 2008, and within a year they had dropped 70 or 80%. Like, we don't want to – I think this is the absolute worst time to buy oil and energy stocks. It's my view that we're seeing quite the opposite. Again, this is like a magic trick. Wall Street is notorious for showing the audience one thing, but then behind the scene or behind the hand they're doing something else. We have technology stocks have gotten slaughtered. They're down 40, 50, 60, 70% in the last year. We have growth, which is technology, way oversold compared to value, which is actually pretty fair valued and held up really, really well. And so, again, I think that we have to do the opposite of what the world is showing us, and that is look more toward technology and the growth stocks that have gotten really hurt versus the value and energy stocks where everybody's flashing and showing that gas is going to go to, you know, $5 a gallon or $10 a gallon. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Well, Bill, can you put into a perspective why we should keep in mind that things change? Obviously, you know, way back in 2008, when oil was at $37 a barrel, that probably would have been a great time to invest. But right now, that's not the case.
I'm just telling you the way I see it from the analytics that we pay a lot of money to use, that we manage our client accounts with. We see growth way oversold compared to value. We see value like energy stocks, gas utility, electric utilities have actually held up very, very well. We have interest rates are still low. The Federal Reserve hasn't raised interest rates. They just talked about it. And yet we've received what they just talked about. I don't know. We're still, the support levels and the trend of the market is still positive. John, we have the midterm elections coming up. There's just no way the Democratic administration is going to completely commit suicide with this. We have to get this mess over with quickly. We have to clean up in aisle two before the midterm elections, because we already have blue states kind of turning red and a lot of conversation, especially in Illinois. Well, we're still, wearing mask mandates, and our governor is kind of disobeying the temporary restraining order on these things. So there's a lot to sift through, John. I'm just saying, generally, is we have to do the opposite of what mainstream media is indicating, And I think selling portions out of your portfolio right now to take less risk, to get involved in commodity and energy stocks right when we are way, way overbought. I mean, fair value for crude oil is still $70 a barrel, maybe $60 a barrel. So if you want to pay double, go ahead. But I think you're just shooting yourself in the foot. The opportunity is in growth. The opportunity is in technology because it's gotten slaughtered in the last year. Stocks like Roku, DocuSign, many, many, many others are down 40, 50, 60, 70% from their highs. That's to me where the opportunity is, John, not in buying commodity-based exchange-traded funds for your IRA or your 401k. That's the way I'm playing it for my clients, and I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying I'm putting the as many cards in my favor as I possibly can.
We want to bring in our listeners. If you have any questions about investing in oil or energy stocks for our financial expert, Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, give us a call, 888-914-9149. We have open lines right now, 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break, Bill, but we're going to continue talking about these different opportunities with our financial expert, Bill Ulivieri. Stay with us. There's much more on the other side.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
She got the way to movement, Jerry. She got the way to movement. All right.
And welcome back to Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with our good friend and financial expert, Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. And we're talking about whether we should or shouldn't buy oil and energy stocks for our IRAs or 401ks. Bill, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here again.
Bill, for someone just joining us that may have missed the first part of our conversation, can you give us a real quick recap of your philosophy when it comes to buying oil and energy stocks for our retirement plans, for our IRAs and 401ks?
Sure, John. I'm looking at a chart right now that goes back to 2003. And what it does is it compares growth stocks like technology and biotechnology, internet stocks, software, and compares them with value funds. And it looks at about 1,000 different kind of mutual funds and exchange-traded funds. And we are at our one, two, three. This is the third time since 2003 we have been this low and this oversold in growth and technology. And we are maybe our fourth or fifth highest on record for value stocks, like energy stocks, like utility stocks, dividend-paying companies. And so for me, the average growth fund is grossly oversold, and the average value fund, which consists of energy stocks and gas and oil stocks, is near its high end of the range. So as a contrarian, as someone who's looking for opportunity, I just don't believe we're going to continue this way. In commodities, in oil, in natural gas, corn, wheat, soybeans, there is something called a supply-demand curve. The more demand there is, all of a sudden the manufacturers begin creating more supply. The more demand is met with more supply. And we're going to see shortly, I believe, this is now the middle of March, within a month or two, we're going to see gas prices, I believe, much lower, crude oil prices much lower, and we're going to see probably a turn in of events in technology. And that's just the way I've got to play it, the way I see it and the way our analytics are showing us. So I think this is, once again, like a magician, it's the movie The Prestige. You show one part of the magic trick, it's the pledge, the presentation, and then the turn. I think we're in the middle of the turn where the magician actually does the trick, but you can't see it. That's what I see right now. The media is presenting the story, and I think that people are taking the baits, moving into commodities, moving into oil, moving into these types of investments. I think this is the worst time to do it. If you really think that you like oil and you really like oil companies, just wait for a little bit of a pullback, maybe to fair value, which is $70 a barrel in crude oil. So that's the way I see it, John. Be very, very careful here.
If you have a question or comment on investing in oil or energy stocks for your retirement plans, for Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. So, Bill, what are you recommending? What are some of these tech stocks and other stocks that you think we should be watching and perhaps buying?
Well, boy, so this is really a tricky question because my opinion on growth stocks changes. The actual individual selection changes like every single day. These are the things I do, though. I do like. I'm beginning to like the Catherine Woods ARK funds only because it holds very innovative funds, I mean, very innovative stocks. And her portfolio, her ETF is down maybe 55 to 65% from its high in May. You see, John, that's the thing. Technology made its high back in May of 2021, but you don't hear anybody talking about that. That's the opposite side of growth, and that's the opposite side of value. And so this is what has me concerned. It's like the little hairs on the back of my head stand up. I like a symbol called QYLD. It's the Globex Covered Call Writing 100 ETF. What it does is it buys all the companies in the NASDAQ 100, and then it sells call option premium on that. That ETF is paying like a 12% dividend. It's gone virtually nowhere in 30 years. It's trading about $19.90 a share. Its low was maybe in the high teens, you know, back during COVID. And I'm sorry, its low was in the high teens, and its high was just maybe in the high to mid-20s. So in other words, here's an exchange-traded fund yielding like 11.5%, 12%. It's kind of on the low end of the range. You don't buy it because it's growth. You buy it because it pays an incredible dividend stream. Like, that seems interesting to me. I'm involved in technology. It's on the low end of the range. It's an asset class that's way oversold. And it pays a remarkable dividend stream. Like, those are the things I'm looking at for my clients.
Well, one of the things that you've been talking about for years has been the cryptocurrency. Juan is calling us from Los Angeles, and he's got a question for you. Juan, sure. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning, Bill. Just wondering, what's your take on crypto? I know it's a pretty spontaneous market. It's not very stable. It's not very consistent. But there's an opportunity to make money there. There's also an opportunity to, you know, lose it all in a matter of minutes sometimes, because it's constantly changing. What's your take on that as a part of your portfolio for investment?
I am very, very bullish on cryptocurrency, especially Bitcoin. Based on my analytics, it should be trading substantially higher by the end of the year. But yeah, people talk about the volatility of Bitcoin, but I've taken Bitcoin and I've compared it in just a regular portfolio. In other words, what would a 3% or a 5% allocation or investment in Bitcoin be for an overall portfolio? And it doesn't really add that much volatility to the bottom line, but it does add some attractive returns over the course of time. Bitcoin is like the only asset class that's been up 130% per year for the last 11 or 12 years. And now it's a little bit down on the year, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, it's making new highs. It looks a little bit like an up escalator where every low is a little bit higher than the one before it. So I'm very bullish on Bitcoin. I'm very bullish on it as a technology. I'm bullish on it as a investment asset class, a new asset class. And look at the euro dollar. Euro dollar is getting creamed. It's almost on par, meaning one-to-one with the U.S. dollar, where before it was, you know, $1.25, $1.30 in U.S. dollars for every 1 euro. Now it looks like it's going to go the other way. Europe is in shambles. So that's going to be positive for the U.S. dollar and positive for Bitcoin, in my opinion, as investors flee the euro dollar and are very concerned about the trillions of negative interest rate bonds overseas. You know, I think Europe's going to blow up financially. And I know that I'm Italian. I have a habit of being very exaggerating in my conversation. It's just the way I think and the way I trade. But, yeah, very positive on all that, Bitcoin especially.
Thanks so much, Juan. Bill, we're just about out of time, but a quick 30-second final thought on how this war in Ukraine with Russia is affecting the markets.
Well, it's adding a massive amount of volatility, John. We have. I'm not going to deny that. I'm just saying that with volatility comes opportunity, and sometimes the very best trades are either the ones you don't make or the best trades are the one that you do the opposite of what Wall Street is pounding the drum on. And I believe, once again, that we are, that the magician of Wall Street is showing everybody else energy, when in fact, the true opportunity could be in technology.
As always, thank you so much for your perspective. I really appreciate it. Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, senecalcapital.com. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Sean.
And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Helping folks in the cold climates to get through the winter with a look at spring. In our story today, spiritual gardening. Time to plant our gardens. As you plant, may I suggest the following rules for your garden planting. Plant 3 rows of squash. Number 1, squash gossip. Number 2, squash criticism. Number 3, squash indifference. Plant 3 rows of peas. Number 1, purity. Number 2, patience. Number 3, perseverance. Plant 6 rows of lettuce. Number 1, let us be unselfish and loyal. Number 2, let us be faithful to duty. Number 3, let us search the scriptures. Number 4, let us not be weary in well-doing. Number 5, let us be obedient in all things. Number 6, let us love one another. No garden is complete without turnips. Number 1, turn up for church, prayer, and Bible study. Number 2, turn up with a smile, even when things are difficult. Number 3, turn up with determination to do your best for God's cause. After planting, then may you, from 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I love it. Thanks so much, Glenn. Let's continue to pray to the Mother of God for peace and an end to the war in Ukraine with Russia. Pray the Rosary with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight. And this afternoon, you can pray the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. on the Drew Mariani Show. That'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the whole Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.